Voice of One Witness radio broadcast hosted by Billy Brim Ministries. Up next is the audiobook by Dr. Billy Brim, The Blood and the Glory, read by her daughter Shelley Brim. This classic teaching will guide you to discover the truth about the blood of Jesus and the glory of God. Stay tuned to the end of our broadcast to find out more on Billy Brim Ministries' next authority conference hosted near Tulsa, Oklahoma, April 27th through the 29th. This is a free special Tulsa, Oklahoma event. For more information, visit billybrim.org or call 417-336-4877.
Chapter 11. Tokens. Answer to Terrorism. When Jesus told us what would occur before his second coming, he said, "And there shall be signs upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth." Luke chapter 21, verses 25-26. A word that strikes fear to the hearts of men these days is terrorism. Though it takes various forms and comes from divergent groups, its real source is Satan. He is the master terrorist. How interesting it is that the Bible describes his end as, "Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more." Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 19. I have observed terrorist acts from a close viewpoint, primarily in Israel, where I spend so much time. On a recent trip, we took our seminar study group of 50 to Bet Led, just about 5 miles from the Hebrew Language Center where I study Hebrew and where we began all our tours. Bet Led, a small covered bus stop, was typical of many throughout the land, and in this tiny country, Israel's the size of New Jersey, the military bases are not far from home for the young men and women who make up the majority of Israel's forces. So they usually go home when they have time off, especially for Shabbat. Uniformed young Israelis waiting for buses as they are coming or going home is a familiar sight. Terrorists, sometimes car bombers, sometimes knife-wielding assailants, attacking such bus stops with regularity. 2 months before we stood at Bet Led, two suicide bombers had struck and killed more than 20 young soldiers, mostly girls. A Pentecostal pastor who lives in Israel and serves in the police described to our group the horrors of cleaning up the scene. Just a few days later, on our study tour, we got off our bus to take pictures at a scenic point high above the Jordan Rift. A young couple from California wanted their picture with me. We were walking into the overview area provided for scenic photography when the husband said, "What's that?" I looked down to see, about 2 feet from us, a small military green rectangular metal box. Two small black wires were attached to it. A regular bus driver, Moses, is a commander in the Israeli army. All men serve until they are 55. He determined it to be a landmine, probably stolen from the military by terrorists and placed strategically to do damage to innocent people who would take pictures there on the upcoming holiday. Moshe stationed two Israeli soldiers who were hiking the rift to watch the apparatus while we drove to the military base close by to report it. We always make it a point to go to what the world calls the West Bank. The Bible calls it Judea and Samaria, and particularly tells the Jews to settle there when God brings them home in the last days before the Messiah comes. One place I love to go in Judea is Hebron. It is the place where God cut the covenant between the pieces with Abraham for the land, Genesis chapter 15. It is also the place where the giant said boo, and the doubting spy shrunk to the size of grasshoppers in their own sight, Numbers chapter 14, verses 22, 28, and 33. Today, the political giants of the world want Israel to give up Hebron. Machpelah, the tomb of Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebekah, Jacob and Leah, is in Hebron. Jews and Muslims pray there under heavy military guard, but tourists have not been allowed there for a long time. On our recent trip, I said to our guide, one of the first six Israeli families to settle in Hebron after the Six-Day War, "I hate it that we cannot go to Hebron." He said, "Who said you can't go?" We both knew who said it, but somehow what God said sprang up within our hearts. We checked with the people on the study tour. What a group! And they wanted to go. We hurried to the bus from the backside of Masada, where we were walking down the Roman ramp when we had this conversation. Then we drove the way back to Hebron. Our eyes were blessed along the way to see herds of camels, actually dromedaries, with spring babies alongside their mothers. Our Jewish guide said to me, "Pray like you've never prayed before." When we arrived, our guide got off the bus and spoke to the soldier in command. He came back to me. "You'll have to swear that you're a descendant of Abraham and that you came here to pray." "No problem," I said. I remembered Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. I swore the same to the Israeli commander and threw in a little Hebrew to convince him. He said, "Well, maybe you, but not that busload of Americans." I said, "Yes, each one of them can swear the same." And they did. So with armed soldiers surrounding us, we walked up the hill to the huge edifice built over the caves in the time of Herod. They guided us to the cupola over Abraham and Sarah's grave and commanded, "Pray." Our guide and the soldiers stood outside the door. I went behind the small pulpit where rabbis usually stand and said, "I believe God has brought us here to pray. No tourists have been here in a year, and we are here. I do not know what He wants us to pray, so we will pray in the Spirit." That wonderful group lifted their voices in united prayer for 10 to 15 minutes. When we left the cave area, a military jeep went ahead of our bus, and one went behind to provide us escort out of Hebron and toward Jerusalem. The jeeps were equipped with strong searchlights, which constantly probed the sides of the road, for it was now dark. When we got through a dangerous junction, where ambushes often occur, our guide was overjoyed. About 15 minutes after we crossed the junction, we met bus number 60 from Jerusalem, carrying Jewish commuters home to their settlement, Kiryat Arba. Joshua chapter 14, verse 15. When bus 60 reached the junction, terrorists fired upon them from the sides of the road where they had waited in ambush. They hit the bus driver. Two young Jewish men were killed, but the bus just came to a stop. Some said it was a miracle that more were not killed. Perhaps it was an answer to prayer. The next morning on our bus, we prayed together again for the wounded and the families of the victims. And then we sensed an unusual anointing to pray the terrorists would be caught. Just a few days later, the news reported the Israeli army apprehended those same three terrorists, heavily armed and apparently on their way to a bombing attack. A few days later, suicide bombers hit a bus in the Gaza area. A young American Jewish woman, a student, was killed, along with seven others. Her father came from New York to accompany her body back to America. They were on my El Al return flight. I watched the entourage which met them at JFK to honor them. Somehow, I am familiar with such things in Israel, but not in Oklahoma City. Exactly 1 month to the day after our experience in Hebron, the tragic bombing of the Mura Federal Building occurred. Terrorists, homegrown, the media called them, unbelievably struck at the heartland of America. There is a terrorist, Satan, who is striking with great wrath because he knows his time is short. The Bible specifically tells us how to overcome him. with the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and by committed lives. I was so proud of the brave Oklahomans and the witness of their faith broadcast to the world from the buckle of the Bible Belt. What the devil meant for evil definitely cost his kingdom. A blinking sign. One day, years ago, the Lord made this scripture come alive to me. Philippians chapter 1, verse 28. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. The Bible instructs us not to be terrified by our adversaries. It further specifies, in nothing, in no thing. Just by doing this, we send them an evident token. Remember, token means sign. An evident sign is one easily seen. Just not being terrified by our adversaries sends them an easily read sign. A sign of what? Of their perdition. Perdition means doom. The day the Lord revealed this to my spirit, I saw it like this. We were not terrified. It's like we put up a huge blinking neon sign in the face of Satan and his demons. You're doomed. You're doomed, the message flashes. And that's not all it says. The Bible says it is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation. It also blinks. I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. Satan and demons are not all-knowing. They don't know your heart. They can only read your countenance. They are observing you. The original Hebrew of the following verse shows us that. Psalm 27, verse 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. This is one of my favorite Psalms, so I read it often. When I got a new Bible recently, it had a reference to the last phrase that my previous Bible did not have. It gives the original Hebrew of my enemies as those which observe me. I ran a reference and found this in the original Hebrew of other scriptures. What kind of signs are you sending those who observe you? If you're not afraid, they won't stay around to read, you're doomed, you're doomed. When you get up in the morning, send the right signals. Don't say, oh, I'm so depressed. Those who observe you will laugh with glee and stay around to feed your mind with fear and sadness. Say, praise the Lord! Oh, I'm so glad for this new day. Thank you, Father, for your great plan of redemption. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. I place the token of the blood between me and mine and all the power of the enemy.
Thank you for listening to the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast hosted by Billy Brim Ministries. What you just heard was from Dr. Billy Brim's audiobook, The Blood and the Glory, read by her daughter, Shelley Brim. Live near Tulsa, Oklahoma, April 27th through the 29th. Join Dr. Billy Brim for our authority conference at our home church in a glorious church fellowship. Save the dates and make your plans now to join the upcoming authority conference near Tulsa, April 27th through the 29th. Joining Dr. Billy Brim in these powerful meetings will be Chip and Shelley Brim. For more information about the Tulsa Area Authority Conference, visit billybrim.org or call 417-336-4877.